You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. It's nice to be with you this afternoon. Thank you again for joining us right after the Holy Mass. Let's begin with our prayer of a Hail Mary, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, you know, with all that's been going on with the pandemic, and we've reached the eighth, and we're now approaching, I think, eighth week, ninth week. Well, we've approached quite a few of them, haven't we already? Sometimes, you know, brothers and sisters, we feel like the prophet Elijah, who ran 90 miles for his life, and he collapsed beneath the juniper tree, and he was overwhelmed with self-pity, and he declared, "I've had enough. Take away all of this." And that's how many of us are feeling these days with the pandemic. And these are really truly human emotions that Elijah experienced as he sat under the broom brush and prayed to God. And then he slept. And while he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him to get up and eat. He looked around and he saw some bread baking on hot stones and a jar of water. And so he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, for there is a long journey ahead of you." And that you can find in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah wisely chose to act in obedience to God and ate and drank the food given to him, which in turn gave him the strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And here the Lord spoke to him and asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have worked very hard for the Lord God of the heavens, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you and torn down your altars and killed your prophets, and only I am left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Well, God dealt with Elijah's self-pity by telling him to go stand on the mountain and hear the Lord reveal his power to him. The Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his scarf, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" God proceeded to give instructions to Elijah and encouraged him by giving him Elisha to replace him as a prophet. Thus we can see what self-pity can do to us. Elijah had such fear that, forgetting that God was in control, he only looked inward and saw many enemies. He felt unloved, he felt deserted, and he felt trapped. He felt that there was no one else who loved God and that only he was left as faithful. And God told him. And incidentally, there are 7,000 men in Israel who have never bowed to Baal, a false idol, nor kissed him. Haven't we felt like this lately, brothers and sisters, since this pandemic? That we want to sit and just sit in the mire of self-pity. Poor me, I can't go anywhere. Poor me, my children are here. Poor me, my job. Poor me, maybe I don't have a job anymore. And some of us have every reason in the world to experience that self-pity, that worry, that anxiety. But a lot of us who are instructed to stay home, wash your hands, and just be home, it seems like an awful lot. And yet, when we look around our frontline workers, our personal support workers, our doctors, our nurses, our researchers, everyone who is facing this pandemic head on, and the blessed people who are suffering, and the blessed people whose loved ones are suffering, and the blessed people who have lost loved ones from this suffering, these are the people who are crying out and who need our support. The smog that pollutes the air and hides the glory of the sun and all creation, it's a parable picture of self-pity, which is the smog that pollutes the soul and obscures the light of the Son of God. And as the smog hurts our eyes and does untold damage to our bodies, so self-pity causes pain, tears in our eyes, doubt of God's power in the soul, and brings a great sting of loneliness, just as Elijah knew it. God knows us, and he knows what's going on, because he created us and this universe. Just as he did not rebuke his prophet Elijah, but he ministered to him, he longs to minister to you and I. If we could just stop running long enough to listen to him, he will supply our rest and our nourishment, both physical and spiritual, to refresh us. And as he encouraged Elijah to take a long rest and eat well, he helped Elijah through this simple technique to get his eyes off himself and his situation. He gently prodded the prophet to focus anew on the Lord God, who is always there and always available to give strength to those who trust in him. Remember, in Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Not only did God provide Elijah with renewed strength, but he also gave him a close friend named Elisha, with whom he might share his life and load here on earth. We feel sorry for ourselves today, don't we? We are trapped. We feel trapped. And we can become easily caught up in this self-pity as Elijah was. But why not try God's remedy? Eat well, brothers and sisters. Rest your minds. Rest your bodies. Read the Bible. Pray. Welcome the silence. Enjoy the peace. And as God called Elijah to stop and listen to him on the mountain, he calls to us today to take a well-needed look at our Savior through his word, the Bible. Brothers and sisters, I understand many of you may have young children, and you may not think that there's so much chaos in the house. Then you make a conscientious effort to find a place and a time where you can sit quietly, whether it's in the washroom, in your bedroom, somewhere, or a walk on the sidewalk, and take a moment, or when the children are asleep. And I know you'd be tired, but God knows that. And God will welcome you just as you are, that he sees that you're making the effort to come to him. Go to him, brothers and sisters. Go to him. Find the time, please. This pattern also calls for all of us to follow with quality time spent with a friend whom God will provide. God is our friend. If we follow this beautiful pattern that God has created for us, we will be amazed at the outcome. We will discover that God has plenty of help available to us for any form that we need. He calls us to that. God longs for Christians to develop a spiritual insight, not to dwell into the realm of the obvious of what's around us. Many refuse to go deeper to believe God more for his strength in the possibilities that he offers to us for service to him. We allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with self-pity, and when we should look to the Lord with wisdom and strength. We've been caught in this snare, and it's been quite a while now. But brothers and sisters, don't be dismayed. Don't be fooled that this is forever. God will press the start button. God will press the stop button in the good Lord's time. And if you trust him, you will accept what is going on and do your very best to abide by the rules of the country by staying inside as much as you can. Take the children either into a backyard or somewhere where they can maintain social distancing, and find time for your soul, brothers and sisters. And if you can, pray as a family. Have that quiet time together. Even if you've never done it before, what a wonderful time, what a perfect opportunity to pray together as a family. You know, even the disciples were guilty of this nearsightedness. We read in Mark chapter 6 of the disciples whom Jesus sent away in a boat, remember? After he had miraculously fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and fish. And then Jesus slips off to a very quiet place on a mountain to pray. And while the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, right, what happens? I remember telling you this. Suddenly a storm broke upon the sea, and they were filled with panic. And Christ came to their rescue and calmed the sea by stilling the wind. He assured them that there was no reason to be afraid. Mark later comments on this event by stating in his gospel, they were greatly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. In other words, they didn't learn anything from that. They didn't seem to encapture what had happened back there. Like, who is this? This is Jesus. Look what he is doing. Look who he is. Who is God? What can God do? And then they're in the boat. And they're terribly afraid. And they're probably really mad at Jesus. Like, how dare he sleep on this boat? They're like scared and thought for sure they were going to die. They were insensitive to God's power after seeing him multiply the loaves and the fish to feed the crowd. They made a choice. What's that choice, brothers and sisters? They made a choice to fear the storm. You make a choice to be in fear, brothers and sisters, to be with anxiety, to feel down, to feel depressed. We make a choice. We say, what a tragedy. They knew the Lord. They saw him. face to face, and yet they did not believe in his power to help them. Had they applied what they had observed earlier that day when the thousands were fed, their response to the storm would have been insightful trust in the Lord Jesus. They would have called immediately to their Savior for help. And yet, how many of us were all feeling overloaded? And it's understandable, brothers and sisters. This is of an unprecedented event. It really is. It'll be in the history books, in every history book, in every culture, in every language around the world. This will be something we will not forget. Our children won't forget it. And we will have this story to tell. How many of us, when we feel overloaded in our own lives, forget to cry out to Jesus for his help? And we must cry out for help. No one is saying to dwell and sit and take it. I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, ask God's help to help you. We are like the disciples described in Hebrews chapter 5. It says that some had become dull of hearing, lazy, lacking insight and maturity. We find God challenging our hearts these days, brothers and sisters, through these words from Hebrews. Let us go on instead to other things and become mature in our understanding, as strong Christians ought to be. Just as Christ prepared a feast for the crowd on the shores of Galilee, he may call us to prepare in some small manner a feast for needy people. It may not necessarily be food he asks us to provide for them. It may instead be time, energy, or a prayer. We need to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ's abundant supply of resources, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And by his Spirit, he will provide all that we need. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Ephesians 5. And as we ponder these things, we realize that leisure time, really, brothers and sisters, is a rare treasure. It's a gift from God to restore us. Make the most of your time. If it's rest that you need and quiet your mind, then that is what you are to do. Pray, brothers and sisters. It is important to read God's word and to seek his will for each day, treasuring it as a new gift from God. Analyze and think about, what does relaxation mean to you? And then choose a portion of your day, relaxing in the presence of the Lord. Even if it means walking outside, your thing may be to read, walk, maybe do puzzles, maybe it's to sew, maybe work in the yard, bake, or maybe it's something completely different. Choose your leisure time wisely, brothers and sisters. Don't squander it. Sometimes relaxation comes in a big chunk, but most often I try to find small breaks in my day for refreshment, right? And often leisure time can come in the form of an overdue phone call to a friend, a letter to someone in need, an email, a text, a walk, or a cup of tea. Take time to rest and enjoy God and his wonderful creation, just as he rested and enjoyed his creation after forming the world and all that is in it. Whether our home is a mansion, a cottage, or a small room, God wants it to be a place where joy is shared and sorrow is eased. There was a poem, and it was called The Recipe for a Home, and the author actually is unknown. Half cup of friendship. and a cup of thoughtfulness, creamed together with a pinch of powdered tenderness, very lightly beaten in a bowl of loyalty, with a cup of faith and one of hope and one of charity. Be sure to add a spoonful each of gaiety that sings, and also the ability to laugh at little things. Moisten it with the sudden tears of heartfelt sympathy, baked in a good-natured pan and served repeatedly. So, brothers and sisters, there is great joy to be had in the presence of God. Accept God's given interruption here, brothers and sisters, this pandemic. Accept it as part of his plan. And rejoice in any opportunity that comes your way during these interruptions. Make time to plan, to rest for your devotions, even if you have to make up a do not disturb sign on your front door or your bedroom door. And try and have your children maybe begin some training of how to pick up after themselves to make life a little easier. I know it isn't easy. I've got children too, believe me. But if they see how sincere you are and that you truly would appreciate their help, believe me, they'll come through for you. So communicate your needs with everyone that you live with. Don't keep it inside. Have a time to talk, all of you, including your children. How are they feeling? Because sometimes we think the children aren't noticing what's going around them. But children also feel the impact of this pandemic, the lack of socializing with their friends, the normal routine of going to school, walking or riding their bike or going on the bus, right? Whether it's sports activities and different things that they're involved in, the, you know, little, what's it called? Not Little League, but you know, my gosh, I forgot, you know, T-ball. Remember where they put the little baseball on top of a plastic little stand and the children hit the ball with a plastic bat? It's called T-ball, right? Their first introduction to baseball and being part of a team. Also, whether it's soccer. So all of these wonderful things, brothers and sisters, the children are missing too. You're missing your maybe your job, your life, and may the Lord truly help you find the funds and provide for you the funds that you need in your bank account. But the Lord is here, brothers and sisters. He knows what we're going through, and he knows what each little household is entailing, what kind of suffering is going on in each. But he is also a God that waits for us. He knocks at the door, says, if you want me to come in, you have to ask me in. You have to invite me in and say, I need help. Even for the smallest of things, brothers and sisters, ask him for help. So what we've started doing is that we started cleaning out our basement. We started cleaning out our basement from three very homely, very sad looking Christmas trees that need to go out permanently, right? And we've got a plastic snowman, a plastic Santa Claus. We've got different things downstairs, things that need to go. We've even got my daughter and my son's high school notes here, and my children are well into their 30s. So imagine. I think it's time, right? So we've been working at it bit by bit. When the weather is rainy, we go downstairs and we welcome the rain and say, that's our opportunity to keep cleaning. We don't put a mandate on ourselves and say, well, we better get it done fast. You know, we better hurry up. No, we just take it bit by bit and we go through it. And it's been really a wonderful time. I know that you probably have spent more time talking and arguing and all kinds of things since the pandemic hit. But I pray that your time together is a real enlightenment of the joy and the gifts that God has blessed you with to have children. Children are our gift from God. They are a gift. So please, brothers and sisters, those of you who are parents and have children at home, Imagine Jesus is in the kitchen with you. Show some patience. Show some extraordinary patience. Try not to pay attention to everything you hear. You hear it so that it goes in one ear and out the other. Try to not to put everything to heart. Realize that everyone is suffering and trying their best to get through this pandemic in their own special way. So be sensitive to that, brothers and sisters. Don't be hard, so hard on yourself and hard on the children. For your own health, especially, brothers and sisters. They need their mom and dad. So brothers and sisters, if you are a mom and dad, it's time to be the calm and the joyful and be positive. And you can ask, welcome the children with their questions, answer them as simply as possible, not in huge technical terms. Because I know when I'm teaching, I'm getting children who say to me, we might die. They're very concerned about death because obviously they read, whether they're on the iPad, but somehow they're all aware of this. And the children are doing their best to try and make sense of their world right now. It's very difficult for the children, especially the children. So God has given us a wise mind, a good mind, a healthy mind. Use it and think twice before you get angry at the children that you say to yourself, wait a minute. You have to put yourself in their shoes too. Okay? So brothers and sisters, may God bless you during this time. But I wanted you to have some time to say, you know what? Way back in scripture, Elijah also was wallowing in pity. And many of us have a right to feel self-pity, and many of us do not. But all of us can come to the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and ask for prayer, ask for strength, ask for joy, ask for peace. And we can get through this, brothers and sisters, and we will. We will. This will pass. You know that saying, and this too shall pass? Yes, this too shall pass, brothers and sisters. It'll be but a memory, and we will learn how to deal with it after this in a much healthier way. So, brothers and sisters, hang in there. Keep smiling. Keep your eyes looking upon God, and He will help you. I promise you. God bless each and every one of my listeners today. Thank you so much for listening to The Father's Quilt. And I'm your host, Christina Doyle. So see you Tuesdays and Fridays. That's my time with you from 1 o'clock to 1:30 here on Radio Maria Canada. God bless all my listeners. Bye for now.
I've got no